colors. They're the moan of pain and a taste of strife and a sad refrain. A game which life is playing. Blues can be the living dues we're all a paying. Yeah, oh Lord. In a rainbow, a summer day that's fair, a prayer that's prayed, a lament that's made. Some shade of blue is there, blue the heavens hue, they're all blues.
Greetings, all you 99%ers. This is your host, Dr. Jack Rasmus. This is Alternative Visions. Okay, two main topics, well, maybe two and a half, want to talk about this week. One, we got cut off a little quick last time, didn't leave enough time to really talk about the HEROES Act and what's in it. Last week's show, if you weren't listening, was really, I guess, in retrospect, a summary and analysis of the CARES Act. In other words, this main provision to mitigate the crisis that was passed by Congress in March, called the CARES Act. You know, this was the bill that had to do with providing unemployment insurance extensions or supplements to the those unemployed here, plus the $1,200 checks and the loans to small, medium, and large corporations. That was the CARES Act, $2.2 trillion plus $650 billion in tax cuts, which aren't mentioned very much. That was part of the CARES Act, too. We ended up talking about that more than I had wanted, but it was an important background to the HEROES Act, which is the fifth in the series here, which is being debated in Congress right now. On the 15th of May, it was passed in the House. Excuse me. And ever since then, the House and and the Senate have been debating the HEROES, quote, HEROES Act as the supplement to the or the sequence to the CARES Act. The CARES Act was the third in the series. You know, initially they provided $8 billion for medical supplies back in February, and then they added $100 billion in the second iteration for hospitals. All that, of course, was a drop in the bucket. And then they passed the CARES Act, $2.3 trillion. And then, of course, following that, we got a supplement, a boost to the CARES Act for the small business program, the PPP as it's called, Payroll Protection Program, wasn't enough. That was another $320 billion on top of the original $350 billion in loans and grants. And that amounted to the fourth iteration. And now, of course, the HEROES Act, as they call it, because it provides some direct benefits to frontline workers, you know, in healthcare and elsewhere who are on the line. The HEROES Act are the fifth version of this. And the question is whether the HEROES Act is just another mitigation, in other words, putting a floor under the collapse of the economy, or is it really going to stimulate the economy, stimulate a recovery? Or, as it's beginning to look like in new provisions pressed by the Republicans, a kind of an increase in business subsidization. And we'll talk about that. Is it another business subsidy bill? Or is it a true stimulus bill? Or is it just put a floor under the collapse? Because, you know, when the CARES Act was passed, it was acknowledged even publicly by the politicians, that this was mitigation, meaning that they were just trying to put a floor under the collapse of the economy and its effects. It wasn't designed to stimulate the economy and wasn't designed to really prevent or replace the full loss of income, both for workers and state and local governments and even business. No, that wasn't the objective. Mitigation means a slow down the collapse. Okay, so, you know, the negotiations in progress will define what will this be, more mitigation, more actual stimulus, or just a new shift to subsidize businesses at the expense of workers. All right, so what were these provisions? We'll talk about that shortly. Later in the second half of this show, I do want to talk about another very notable development occurring here today, and that is Trump threatening, and actually we don't know all the details here, but we can talk about likelihood, Trump employing U.S. financial measures against China. In other words, U.S. financial imperialism. How does it work here? How might it work in regard to China? Of course, the cover of this is what's happening in Hong Kong. And the anti-China hawks now have Trump's ear. And they are really filling it full of a lot of aggressive stuff. You know, as I've been talking over the past year when we talked about the China-U.S. trade war, which is, of course, in shambles now. I mean, trade war and trade agreement in shambles now. You know, the right wing, the anti-China hawks, pretty much were driving Trump. And, of course, he was going along willingly in terms of the trade negotiations with China. That trade war was extended far beyond what was necessary because the trade hawks really don't want to deal with China. They see China as the major threat to the U.S., and they've got friends in Congress, the hawks in Congress, and they got friends in the Pentagon and the military-industrial complex who want to keep you know, the pot stirring here so that they can continue to get big contracts for military equipment. So it was the hawks that were driving the U.S. trade war. And it was a trade-off kind of between, you know, Trump wanting to show something to his political base to get an agreement with China. And, of course, you know, China had reciprocated in the trade war and wasn't buying agricultural goods. And that was causing some consternation in Trump's heartland, mid-America agricultural base. So Trump was sort of flip-flopping, vacillating, as he always does, between some kind of a deal for the base and the agriculture sector And versus the Hawks, who didn't really want a deal because they saw China as the technology challenge to the U.S. And, you know, military power in the next generation is increasingly technology determined. So those were the forces pulling on Trump, and they finally got to some minimal deal there, trade deal back in November, December last year. And it was pretty minimal, as I had predicted it would be. Trump bragged that it went $200 billion in China purchases over the next 2 years of U.S. agricultural goods and other goods, mostly agricultural. $200 billion. I had said that was a lot of bombast and wishful thinking. It would never be anywhere near that, maybe $20 billion, $40 billion, or returning to what China was buying before Trump launched his trade war. So at most $40 billion, not $200 billion. Of course, that's collapsed now, totally collapsed. There is no trade deal in terms of actual flow of increased purchase of goods. So, you know, now the Hawks come into play here and say, well, you know, with no trade deal, we might as well use China as an excuse for election here and look tough. And so that's what he's doing now, and employing soon measures of financial imperialism. Now, I've been writing on financial imperialism, what is it, for some time, because it's the main means by which the U.S. Keeps its empire together. I've written articles on it. Check them out on my blog, you know, what is financial imperialism, or financial imperialism, the case of Venezuela and in Argentina and so forth. Well, now we got a new chapter here emerging. And basically, financial imperialism means levering the U.S. dollar and its power as a global currency here, dominant hegemonic currency, both as a trading currency and as a bank reserve currency. The U.S. uses the dollar very efficiently. You can see how it's done it by wrecking the Venezuelan economy by denying it dollars for exports and imports. You know, the other measure that that's key to U.S. financial imperialism is that the U.S. banks pretty much control, and capital markets, meaning shadow banks, control a big, big chunk of the flow of the money capital globally. And the banks, of course, work very closely with Washington when it wants them to. And thirdly, the international payment system, the SWIFT system, it's called. That's an acronym, SWIFT. And it's the SWIFT system that allows the U.S. To identify who is violating or trying to get around U.S. sanctions. Without the SWIFT system, the U.S. could not see who was violating the sanctions, which are being used now increasingly by Washington. So, you know, it's the dollar, it's the SWIFT system, it's the banking system. Those are the levers of financial imperialism. And now we're going to see how they're turned against China here. So we'll talk about that a little bit more if we have time at the end of the show here. But I want to get back to the HEROES Act analysis. Well, first, let's say what's in the original House bill. It's a large bill, 1,800 pages, I think. I haven't read it all. But basically, there's $850 billion for state and local governments. State and local governments, of course, have collapsed revenues now. Tens, maybe hundreds of billions of dollars across all the states, especially the blue states, which are the big states, right? Therefore, the states, by the way, that are highly urbanized, and the states where you have the greatest COVID-19 impact on the economy. New York City, for example, is well known. But, you know, Boston and Philadelphia and Detroit, they're also in that category. Chicago, you know, Seattle, L.A. These are blue states, and they've been the hardest hit. And they've been the states that have been following the shutdowns to try to mitigate the virus effect most vigorously. You know, states like Georgia and Florida have not been. So they're the ones that have lost the greatest amount of tax revenue, and therefore the budgets are in the worst shape in these blue states, these big blue states. So $850 billion have been proposed in the HEROES Act to bail out the states. Well, the states and the cities and other entities like utility districts and so forth. So that's a main provision of the HEROES proposal, HEROES bill proposal by the House, $3 trillion roughly in that total proposal, $850 billion state and local government. Also in the House version, original version, it called for extending and increasing the income supplement checks, you know, the $1,200 per adult per family that's gone out, with $600 per child for a maximum for a family of $3,400 maximum. Those checks have largely gone out, not totally, but you know, the proposal in the bill, the HEROES bill, is to increase that to $6,000 because there are families with very large number of children who haven't been able to get a fair deal out of that payment. So another round of checks, up to $6,000 per household. There's also in the HEROES bill, the House version, $100 billion for rental assistance. We're on the verge of a real crisis here in rents, and therefore evictions and foreclosures and evictions that are coming very, very soon, because the CARES Act didn't provide for rental assistance, you see. And the CARES Act was only estimated good for 8 to 10 weeks, and then it would expire in terms of its assistance, and people would be stuck, you know, with real problems here in terms of income. Well, the 10 weeks are over, you know, since mid-March when the CARES Act was passed here. So $100 billion in rental assistance, a continuation of the $600 per week supplemental unemployment benefit through next January. You know, that benefit in the CARES Act expires here at the end of July. That extra $600 on top of whatever the state provided in unemployment insurance. You know, some states, like in the South, provide very minimal, you know, a couple hundred dollars or so a month, a week in unemployment benefits. You know, you go to the Deep South and there's hardly any benefit there at all. You go to the West Coast, you know, California, Washington State, you know, you got $450, $600, $500 in weekly benefits. You know, on average, unemployment benefits only provide about a third of your income. So, you know, it's kind of important to add if you want to really protect income and spending, consumption, and the economy from collapsing further, to provide that $600. But that's supposed to expire, you see, at the end of July under the HEROES bill of the House. Extending that through January. In addition, $200 billion in the bill, House bill, for hazard pay for those workers who are on the front line. I mean, of course, it's hazard pay, right? I mean, and throughout industry, there's always a differential, wage differential supplement for doing hazardous work. This is a very common thing throughout the private sector, hazard pay. You know, they finally recognize if those folks are risking their lives and the lives of their family by working, not just the hospital workers, but, you know, people who deliver the food and other necessary, you know, prescription drugs and so forth. You know, that's absolutely necessary. If it wasn't for workers who were continuing working through this, the economy would have totally collapsed, you know. $200 billion in hazard pay, another $100 billion for hospitals on top of the $175 billion that's been provided so far in the various bills to date, right? the cost, $85 billion to do effective testing and tracing across the country and ensure workplace safety. A provision as well that the employers who provide health insurance for their workers have to continue it, whether they're furloughed or not, through the end of the year. And tax deductions, $500 for first responders and for child care assistance and so forth. Medicare, Medicaid cost relief to the states. These are all provisions that are in the House version of the bill. Now, obviously, it's part mitigation and it's part stimulus in the bill here in the original House version of the bill. A mitigation in terms of continuing the unemployment benefits and the money to the states and local government and the supplement checks. But also, you know, for those, the supplement checks would be the next round would clearly be a stimulus because if you're working, you still get the income supplement checks. So the idea is people would still be working, some of them, and having wages and get the stimulus to spend. Because you look everywhere in the economy, spending and consumption is off by huge amounts everywhere. And it's not coming back to where it was in 2019. Not coming back because people who are working even are uncertain about the future. And uncertain about the future in health terms, you know, will the virus come back second round? And uncertain in terms of the economy. So people aren't going to spend the way they used to unless they have some extra income with which to do it. So it's part stimulus bill. But as we're going to see, it's really... even a greater part, business subsidy bill. The Republicans are turning it into another business subsidy bill, not just a mitigation bill. All right, we'll talk about that too. But anyway, you know, that's an important, I guess, very brief overview. There are tax cuts, more business tax cuts in it as well. You know, $650 billion in the CARES Act in terms of tax bill, tax cuts rather. And I've seen Wall Street Journal's article based on, I think, on a joint committee of taxation in Congress, estimating of that $650 billion in the CARES Act, only 3% of that is going to households with less than $100,000 annual income. $650 billion in tax cuts, in addition to all these $1.7 trillion in loans that was in the March bill, the March Act, the CARES Act, as it's called. Yeah, another big subsidy in taxes going on to business. Tax cut, tax cut, tax cut. We're going to, you know, tax cut ourselves into the poorhouse as a nation because all that tax cut raises the deficits and therefore the national debt by almost an equivalent amount. Okay. You know, and you got to realize that $650 billion in tax cuts, by the way, which include employers not having to pay their share of the payroll tax. So when you hear Trump talk about, oh, he wants a payroll tax cut in the next HEROES bill, that means cutting the 6.2% from workers who are still paying 6.2%. Yeah, it's just the employers aren't paying their half, their 6.2% already. Yeah. And in that CARES Act, that $650 billion includes big tax benefits for businesses. If you have losses this year, of course, and a lot of companies are going to have losses because of the shutdown, right? They can reach back to 2013. And the taxes they paid between now and 2013 over the 7 years, they can get a refund. Yeah, they can look back to 2013 and get in intervening years and get a refund check from the government equal to the losses they've got now deducted from the taxes they paid then. Yes, that's called net operating loss, you see, going backwards. And then there's faster depreciation. There's all kind of provisions, you know, in the CARES Act. Another big tax handout to business, $650 billion, which came on $429 billion in tax loopholes passed in 2019, which came upon $4.5 trillion over a decade of tax cuts launched in January 2018. So Trump is given well over $5 trillion, about $5.5 trillion here in tax cuts, mostly to business and investors and wealthy. You know, when he ran for office in 2016, he made a pledge in February 2016. I wrote on it, article, check it on my blog, where he said, oh, I'm going to cut taxes $5.5 trillion. Well, he's done it. $5.5 trillion. Yeah. And what kind of investment did we get for it? Last year, business investment contracted 9 months in a row. And now, of course, it's virtually collapsed here. You know, latest data on business equipment investment, you know, it's down to 25.3 on the index of business and equipment investing. You know, a 50.0 means no investment, stagnant. More than 50 on that index means that business is increasing investment in equipment. Well, it's at 25, which means nothing going on. You know, after we've given trillions of dollars in tax cuts under Trump, wow. We're getting nothing for it. All right. Business got a big tax windfall. Big tax windfall. And what did they do with that tax windfall? Well, I'll tell you what they did. Under Trump, first 3 years, they distributed $3.4 trillion, businesses did, corporations only, $3.4 trillion in stock buybacks and dividend payouts to their shareholders. $3.4 trillion. You know, and a lot of that went into the stock market and other financial markets. And that's why we got the booms and the bubbles, which Trump thinks is great. Yeah, $3.4 trillion tax cuts translated into stock buybacks and dividend payouts. That's what we got for it. Well, you know, the latest was $650 billion in the CARES Act. And now there's more. I haven't looked at it in detail yet. There's more in more tax cuts for business and wealthy investors in the HEROES bill. But we'll watch that closely because it's still a work in progress and report on that in the future, what's going on with the latest round of business tax cuts. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's look more at what's going on with the negotiations with this HEROES bill thing. All right. From what I can tell, business, meaning business interests, meaning in the Senate primarily, right, and McConnell leading the charge, right, want to extend the PPP program. Now, the PPP program is the loans for small businesses with 500 employees or less. Right. Started out as $350 billion in the original CARES Act. Big corporations stole a lot of that with the help of the banks, who, you know, are the focal point for distributing these loans. It's all going through the banks, the big banks, and they're getting their 5% fees and other fees on top of it, skimming it all off and then lending it out. Right. So, you know, they're the conduit, the big banks, you know, are the conduit, the Chase, the Wells, B of A, et cetera. So, you know, that money's going through the banks, the big banks in particular, right? And the PPP program was being skimmed off the top. The big banks were giving a lot of the money to their best and largest clients. So they had to spend provide another $320 billion here, supplement to the PPP. So, you know, the PPP program, small business program, they call it PPP because 50% of the loan had to be used for continuing payroll, keeping people on the job. You see, 50% of that loan. So that's why it's called Payroll Protection Program, right? PPP, small business, right? But, you know, how do we know they've used it for payroll continuation, or at least half of it? You know, the others they could use for rents and so forth. How do we know? We don't know. There's no checking on whether companies who have gotten the PPP loans, which, by the way, can convert to grants if you do the 50%. There's no way of checking whether they regularly did this. There's no mechanism anywhere to verify that the provisions of the law itself are being followed and not being gamed. We saw how larger companies were gaming this small business loan, right? Why they had to pass another $320 billion. But there's no way... The government, you know, there's no inspector general. There's no board. They call for a board to oversee, but nothing's going on. You know, Trump is firing inspectors general everywhere in all the departments. Right? And he said when the CARES Act was passed, he wasn't going to allow this board to oversee it. He was going to oversee it, right? We don't know whether they've actually used this to pay payrolls or half of it to pay payrolls, you know? Probably someday, you know, the truth will come out. It'll be a big scandal, but it'll be all over then. No one will care. All right. Okay, so the PPP program, $660 billion. Most of that, well, I don't know if most, you know, certainly the $350 billion initially has been paid out, and I don't know how much of the supplemental $320 billion has been loaned out. But that turns into grants. And, you know, they'll claim grants. You know, it's easy to game that. It's easy to say, well, I was going to lay people off anyway when they weren't, and therefore get the claim for the loan based on a payroll protection. Okay. Now, you know, in the CARES Act, it wasn't just small business. There's medium-sized businesses with more than 500 employees, and then there's the big corporations. Well, the CARES Act provided for $600 billion more for medium corporations, is called Main Street, and another $500 billion more for the big corporations, right? Like Boeing and others, right? Now, listen to this. It's unbelievable. Of the $500 billion allocated for big corporations in terms of loans, only $50 billion has been claimed. In other words, only $50 billion in loans have actually been provided to big companies under this particular provision of the CARES Act. Only $50 billion. Now, why aren't they taking more, is the question. Well, because if they took more, there are conditions associated with those loans, and the possibility that they might get investigated at some point if they didn't use it to provide payroll protection, perhaps, or some other provision requirement, right? The big companies don't want to take these loans from the government because it comes with strings, some strings, and who knows what the investigation later will prove. So only $50 billion has been taken up. Oh, here's the big example of what's going on here. Boeing. When this thing began to break, Boeing said it needed $60 billion. Well, a lot of that was because Boeing has been taking losses because its planes won't fly, right? That was a year ago. That's been going on. But Boeing said it needed $60 billion, they and their suppliers, right? Well, what's happened? Has Boeing, which is in deep trouble on its commercial aircraft side, is Boeing taking the loan? No. Boeing publicly decided that it's not going to take the loan. What is it doing instead? It's raising $25 billion in corporate bonds, and it's laying off 16,000 workers. In other words, if it took the loan, it couldn't lay off the 16,000, could it? Yeah. So it's laying off 16,000, which probably reduces by tens of billions, you know, its cost. And it's borrowed by issuing corporate bonds, new bonds, $25 billion instead of the loans. Well, that's going on all over with big corporations, you see. They don't want to borrow the money. Well, wait a minute, aren't they hurting? No, they're not, you see. They're so flush with cash, they don't need to borrow and pay interest for further amounts. Well, how did they get so flush with cash? Well, if you look at the first 5 months of this year, corporations have raised over $1 trillion in corporate bonds. In other words, they've issued corporate bonds and pulled in over $1 trillion in the first 5 months, which is more than double the rate of last year. In other words, they're growing their cash pile because they don't know what's going to happen and how serious this economic situation is going to be. And they're battening down the hatches and they're filling up their cash coffers. You know, $1 trillion alone in corporate bonds. But that's not all. You see, several $100 billion more in drawing down their credit lines with the banks. Several hundred, I don't know, $200-300 billion. It's hard to tell because we only get Fortune 500 data, you know, but a lot of companies in the Russell 2000 or whatever, and 5,000 largest companies are doing the same, drawing down their credit lines, hundreds of billions of dollars more on top of the $1 trillion in corporate bond money. They're also suspending their stock buybacks and dividends. Last year, they paid out $1.3 trillion in stock buybacks and dividends to Fortune 500. Okay, it's pretty clear that they're holding off stock buybacks and holding off dividends, especially dividends. Well, you know, if they paid out $1.3 trillion last year, you know, 5 months this year, maybe $500 billion more they're not paying out, they're holding on to. There's also savings, operational savings, that many companies are enjoying right now. For example, let's take the tech industry. You know, if workers come to work at their locations, the companies provide all kinds of services and benefits to workers. You know, in Silicon Valley, you get free lunches and you get free dinners, right? You get free parking. You get all kind of bennies. You get travel supplements and so forth. With people working from home, you know, that's a big savings for them. Plus, recruiting is becoming easier for them now. If you're going to work from home, they don't have to bring people into crowded California. Now they hire them anywhere. So big savings for some companies. Not all, you know. I mean, the casinos in Las Vegas are in trouble. So are, you know, Disneyland and Disney World and all the theme parks are in trouble. The malls are in big trouble, the shopping malls everywhere. Defaults, bankruptcies, accelerating. So, you know, there's a lot of sectors, restaurants and so forth, travel, airlines. You'll see a consolidation of airlines going on. Several will go under. So, you know, there are sectors where they're not benefiting from having no operations. You know, there are businesses that are benefiting. Well, that's extra cash on hand, right? Look, statistics came out here recently that showed corporations have, just in March, April, from mid-March to mid-April, roughly, deposited $1 trillion additional dollars in just institutional money funds, where they put their short-term money just to hold it to see, you know, what they're going to do with it. They put it in money funds, right? Institutional money funds. That's only one segment of the capital markets, you know, shadow banks, as we call them, and money market funds, right? $1 trillion between February, 2.3 trillion, to here, end of April, 3.3 trillion. So they put $1 trillion. Well, that's part of, you know, all this cash hoarding going on, the bonds and the credit lines and holding on to more cash, so forth. You know, another indicator of the cash hoarding going on is corporate deposits in banks, not in shadow banks like money funds, but in the banks themselves, commercial banks. Well, you know, the typical rate historically has been about 5% deposited of their assets in banks. Well, that went up to 15.8% here in March, April. So that's another place they're stuffing. Who knows where they're stuffing this money? Offshore or in other sources. In other words, the big corporations are so fat, they are so bloated with cash, they don't need to borrow the money under these various loan programs that have occurred. Look, that's the large corporations data I just gave you. What about the medium size? That $600 billion in loans that has been allocated, right? You know what? None of it's been implemented yet. None of that money has been borrowed at all, that $600 billion, by medium-sized corporations. Well, they can't be hurting too bad. You don't hear too much complaints from them. You know, it's all small businesses where the crunch is coming and people are hurting. Because medium and large businesses, you know, and the medium are pretty damn large, you know, they're flush with cash. You know, they're not hurting at all, and no, neither are their shareholders. And then, of course, I haven't even mentioned how much are they putting away or planning to put away because of the $650 billion in tax cuts under the CARES Act and more coming under HEROES. Look, the 1%, the investors, the 1%, the big banks, the 1%, the big corporations, right? They're well taken care of. They didn't need the bailout, and they don't need it now. And you know what? Mitch McConnell's reflecting their position. And what he wants to do now is put a damper and reverse and eliminate some of the crumbs that were thrown to households and workers. I'm talking about the extended unemployment benefits, the supplemental income checks, you know, the food stamps. They want to cut food stamps. Look, we got lines of people sitting in their cars trying to get some sort of food at the food banks. Lines of people. I mean, why shouldn't the government simply be buying the agricultural goods that it can't sell now to to China? Why shouldn't it just be buying it and distributing it to people who need it? You know, why are we giving loans to agribusiness that don't want them and don't need it, and subsidies, and people are still going hungry? If this were a real war economy and a war president, I mean, that's what you'd be doing. You know, we got poverty rates of like 20% and food shortages all over the place. Okay, so, you know, very clearly, the problem is more serious for households. The true unemployment rate, you know, we got 40 million now admitted who are on unemployment insurance benefits, 40 million. But that's not the true picture, you see, because you can be unemployed and not receiving unemployment benefits. Well, some of the data I've seen is that there's 4.1 million more people in the pipeline trying to get their state unemployment benefits. So add them to the 40 million actually getting it. And then there's 3.3 million people who are independent contractors, gig workers, who previously were ineligible for unemployment benefits, but now under the CARES Act are supposed to be able to get it. They haven't got it yet, 3.3 million. And then we've got at least 5 million more who are not in the labor force in just the last few months. You know, the total last year, I think, was like 3 or 4 million not in the labor force. Well, that increased to 8 million in April and probably another million now. So you got another 5 million who are not in the labor force. Well, what is that important? Because if you're considered not in the labor force, you may be jobless, but you aren't eligible to be considered in the unemployment rate. Yeah, you're jobless, but you're not unemployed according to the unemployment calculations. You're not in the labor force. You got to be in the labor force, you see, looking for work to be considered as part of the unemployed. So, you know, 40 million plus 4.1 million in a pipeline plus 3.3 million for contractors and gig workers, right? Plus another 5-6 million. We're over 50 million people unemployed in this country right now. 50 million. That's over 30% unemployment rate. And Mitch McConnell wants to cut the benefits. You know, he's publicly said in no uncertain terms, continuation of the $600 after, you know, supplemental unemployment insurance benefits is not, quote, will not be in the next bill, heroes, quote, unquote. Right? That will not be extended. That's been decided. Ditto for the Heroes House version calling for additional income supplement checks, you know, the $1,200, another round of that. Ditto for that. That's not in the next bill, according to Mitch. Right? Well, what is it that Mitch wants in the next bill? The HEROES Act, right? No income supplement, no extended unemployment insurance. Well, he wants a blanket business liability removal. In other words, businesses can do whatever they want, and you can't sue them if they don't provide health provision, you know, health and safety on the job, right? Don't provide masks, don't provide sanitation, and so forth, right? You can't sue them. You may get sick and die, but you can't sue them. And believe me, they'll use that blanket liability protection for all of the kinds of health and safety issues in their plants and places of business as well. Look, we've got 11,000 meatpacking workers sick. And that's probably an underestimate. 11,000, right? We had problems with pork production, and now it's chicken, and it's going to get worse. Meat production delivery is going to get worse, no doubt about it, because of the nature of the work, elbow to elbow, and businesses not really doing much about it. You know, meat packing, I'm talking about the Tyson Foods and Smithfield and all those. Insufficient. And the workers, meat packing workers, are told they will lose their unemployment benefits if they're on them now if they don't go back to work. That was Trump's order. Oh, war president. That's his big order. Right? I mean, you know, let's not requisition and produce PPE equipment, but let's tell the workers that you got to go back to work. Choose between your life and life of your family and your livelihood, your job. That's a war president that we have, you see. That's one of his very few directives here with regard to the act here. Okay. He also wants a payroll tax cut, Trump, the other half, right, for workers. Well, that'll undermine Social Security, you know. The $2.9 trillion sitting there, and they want to get at it in the Social Security Trust Fund, you know. They want to use that. Okay. So blanket liability, payroll tax cut, no income supplement, no unemployment insurance extension after July. This is McConnell's red lines, as he puts it, right? He says, let's pause and see what happens, right? Let's pause and see. And he says, well, you know, the state and local government's got already got some money. Let's see, right? $150 billion. Well, you know, won't even touch the losses that they've had. He wants to make the blue states bleed. You know, maybe he can turn one or more of them into Trump's camp if the conditions get bad enough. All right, so what else is really going on here in the negotiations? Well, the Republicans in the Senate are coming up with some new ideas as a substitute for not continuing the income checks and reducing unemployment insurance benefits. What are they? Well, they're trying to get people back to work, you know. And one provision is, well, let's pay people $450 a week to go back to work, right? For how long? Who knows, right? Instead of $600 in supplemental unemployment benefits, we'll cut that by 25% and we'll give them $450 if they go back to work. You know? Well, what about those who aren't able to go back to work or aren't called back to work because, you know, you may want to go back to work, but your employer may not be doing enough business to bring you back to work, right? What happens to those? Well, those folks are going to lose the $600, you see. If you're one of the few who get back to work, you maybe get $450. Well, that's one of the proposals bouncing around. But the big one is the proposal by the Republicans for converting unemployment into benefits into a wage subsidy. In other words, instead of paying workers unemployment insurance, the idea is to pay the business a wage subsidy, keep them on a job. In other words, send them back to work, and the government will pay their wages by paying the business to continue the wages. In other words, the government's going to pay the wages by providing a subsidy to the business to pay the wages. The government becomes the employer, although the company gets all that free labor because it's not paying wages, you see. A massive subsidy. Well, the estimate is that's going to cost $194 billion in the HEROES bill. $194 billion. And the terms are the government will pay 80% of wages up to $45,000 a year in income. 80%. Companies will pay 20%. And by the way, it's not just small business will be eligible for that. It's big businesses too. We're moving from a unemployment insurance program to a general wage subsidy for business program. Think about that. The government, the taxpayer, is going to pay the wages of businesses who are going to get the productivity and the revenue from the workers they don't have to pay for anymore. I mean, that just boggles your mind. And by the way, you know, if they took the loan, aren't they getting 50% of the subsidy for wages there? Under payroll protection? I mean, the PPP program, you know? So they're going to get 50%. They use 50% of the loan to continue wages, and then they're going to get a wage subsidy of 80% on top of that? Is this double dipping of some kind? Sounds like it to me. But the real thing is that it's the camel's nose under the tent to convert unemployment insurance, which we've had since the 1930s, into a general wage subsidy for businesses. You're going to socialize the wage costs. Taxpayers pay the wage cost for businesses. They don't pay for their workers anymore. The taxpayer pays for them. By the way, you know, traditional unemployment insurance used to roughly pay about a third of lost wages. Well, 80% of wage subsidy versus 30% that used to be paid? I mean, it boggles my mind. Well, what about the Senate Democrats? Well, they're going along with this. They're going along with this. They're talking about wage subsidy up to $90,000 a year. Yeah. You know, it's hard to to really understand what's going on here. Well, you can understand it, but to believe it, right? Look, median family income loss. The median family income, if they're on unemployment now, they're losing $9,000. Yeah. And so far, according to Oxford Economics, workers on unemployment have lost $1.3 trillion. That was in unemployment benefits, even with the supplement, at the median level, is still a loss compared to the income they were receiving. And he wants to cut it by $600? He, McConnell? Yeah. Look, LendingTree came out with a survey here of 98 cities in the U.S., right? And even the existing unemployment benefits provide only 45% of the income needed for a family, a median family of four. You know, that family needs $7,531 a month, the median family, to pay its bills. Well, only 45% of that is provided, even by the unemployment benefits they're getting now, and McConnell wants to cut it. Get rid of the extra $600. Turn it into a wage. Get people off of it, off of unemployment. Cut unemployment. Get people off of unemployment. Get them into work. And the government will pay 80% to business. To the business, they'll pay them 80% up to $45,000, or who knows, it might be higher. You know. Change it all into a wage subsidy. You know. As if they weren't getting, and the business is getting enough in loans and tax cuts and all the rest. By the way, I failed to mention here when I talked about all the free money going into big corporations, the role of the Federal Reserve, the central bank, in doing that as well. You know, it's not just the Congress's various acts where the lion's share of everything is going into businesses and corporations. You know, if workers are getting $45 billion a month on current unemployment insurance arrangements, if you take the $660 billion in the PPE, small business, and some of the large business, $50 billion and so forth, you know, that's like $700-something billion versus $45 billion. You know, it's like $10 for them, $1 for us, roughly. $7 to $10 for them and $1 for us. For every dollar in unemployment and income supplement workers are getting and households are getting, businesses and investors and corporations are getting $10 for every $1. And they don't really need it. You know, $1.7 trillion in available loans from Congress. But wait a minute, the Fed is another conduit altogether of free money. You know, the Fed quickly set up what it calls 11 lending facilities, 11 of them. And has committed, made available $5 trillion more for businesses, for loans, $5 trillion. How much have they used? Of those 11 facilities, only five are operational 3 months later. The rest, the other six are just on paper. And of the $5 trillion, businesses have only taken up $95 billion in the Fed's programs. $95 billion. Those 11 facilities, lending facilities, yeah. $50 billion corporate loans for big business. Nothing for medium-sized businesses out of the CARES Act, right? Yes, $660 billion for small businesses and $500 billion for unemployment insurance, right, and income checks. Well, look, you know, the people who are hurting are the workers who are unemployed or underemployed, because the $1.3 trillion loss in income so far, about a trillion because you're unemployed and you're not getting anywhere near what you had in working income, but another $260 billion loss because of hours were cut. So $1.3 trillion loss in income. At the same time, businesses, particularly big businesses, are loading up on cash of all kinds and getting all kinds of subsidies. But now they want to convert $194 billion, they want to convert the unemployment insurance program into a wage subsidy program for business. And boy, watch them extend that at a later date. In other words, what you were used to be giving in unemployment insurance, employers pay into the unemployment insurance fund at state level, right? What they used to pay for in unemployment insurance, they're going to get from the taxpayer now in terms of a wage subsidy, right? The end of unemployment insurance, the beginning of general business wage subsidy. That's where we're going. Okay, that's it for today. And we'll talk more about financial imperialism versus China. U.S. financial imperialism versus China next week as it becomes clearer what the U.S. is planning to do.